Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, hey there, folks. This is Rhonda Del Baccio with Directions University's Relationship Marketing 101. A little bit of a topsy-turvy day here, and so I'm really excited to be here with you today, and this will be a little bit different, so getting a bit of a late start with some technical issues, and we're missing our co-host Gina today, so we'll be doing some other types of things with you guys today, and so let me see here. First of all, I was just checking something. Sorry, I sometimes have an interesting time trying to read something and run the show when I'm having trouble reading it. Sorry. Anyway, so for today, I want to have a little bit of a talk about commitment here. And I was just finding the clip that I wanted. Yes, I'm sorry, guys. Okay, so as we're going through, we've had a show not too long ago about a kind of a third quarter check-in starting into the last quarter of the year, a fourth quarter check-in, I guess, you know, with October, November, and December ahead of us. And thinking, are you on track to where you want to be? If you're not, what can you do to amp it up and get there? So if you look for that show, that was in September of 2012, and we had a great show with Ina Gilmore in between talking about some of her results. And so today, let's focus in a little bit on the commitment that it takes. What kind of a commitment does it really take? Not only just putting a date on the calendar and saying, I'm going to do whatever by this date. But it's really all about the commitment to make things happen so that that can become real. So here is Scott Armstrong, who was our guest quite a while back. He had some great things to say about commitment, and I want to play this for you.
Well, I'll tell you that I have – actually, I started studying the powers of the mind when I was a kid, which I know sounds, you know, kind of odd for a lot of folks, but I really have, and so a lot of my life I've thought, gosh, the mind is so powerful, and if it's true what they've always said, that you use maybe 10% of the capacity that you have, and which, you know, is probably pretty close to, right, and that most of the thoughts tend to be negative, I noticed that in times when things are going on that would seem to make you think, well, perhaps you should live in fear like everybody else, but yet I'm in a space where most of my thoughts are toward the future, towards creating good things, towards recognizing the abundance that I have in my life, recognizing how wealthy and prosperous that I am. And, of course, we all know the things happening in the economy, but how we think is our choice. And we are ultimately responsible for our thoughts, our words, our deeds, and really starting with those thoughts. I notice in the way that I speak that it's very different. An example I've shared on this show is recently was wanting to remind somebody about something, and whereas most people would say, don't forget your water or whatever, I said, remember your water. And even in that, in the way that I'm speaking is different because I'm affirming what is that we want, not what we don't want. Say, not saying don't forget your keys, but remember your keys or things of that nature. So I noticed it in there. I noticed that I have an amazing bounce back from things that might seem to be perhaps a setback or a difficulty where I know that's just opening up my life for something better to move in and to come in. And the only way to make room for new and better is to get rid of the old and clutter and anything that's holding you back.
Get rid of that
Hello,
stick of thinking.
Rhonda.
Yeah, exactly. And Scott, you have an amazing story about the power of affirmations. You dedicate an entire chapter of Boston Marathon or Bus to it. I'd love for you to share your story.
Right. Before we go into that, Rhonda, I just want to, another thing I share with my clients, it's been very helpful, is that when you're doing the affirmations, you're taking control of your thoughts, you're feeding your mind with the affirmations, the good books, the CDs. What happens, as I mentioned, the stinking thinking goes away because all these positive thoughts kind of just take over your mind and the negative thoughts can't come in again and it just crowds them out.
Right.
And that's so important. That's why you just start doing the affirmations daily and just see what happens. Take the challenge. And we just gave you some good ones today. But my book, Boston Marathon or Bust, never would have come about if it wasn't for affirmations. And the biggest dream of my entire life was to qualify for and run the Boston Marathon. It took me 12 years to get there. And I finally did it. I hired a coach, and that's the last chapter of my book. You have to have a coach or a mentor to take it to the next level. And I hired a U.S. Olympian, got after it, qualified for Boston. But during that process, it wasn't easy. Success isn't easy.
No.
And so here I am. I was in the best shape of my life. I'm in Chicago. I finally got smart, and I picked a flat marathon. The other ones I ran were like the Big Sur, Catalina Island, these silly marathons. And my coach said, Scott, let's just pick a flat course and let's go for it. So chose Chicago. Had a great running partner, Dr. David Shank. We trained for about 4 months. I was never more ready for anything in my entire life. I wanted it. I knew this was the time. And a marathon is 26.2 miles. It's a long way.
Yep.
And I had to run an average of 7 minute miles for that whole time frame, and it's not easy. But here I am. I'm right on pace at mile 16. And at mile 16, all of a sudden, the wheels were falling off the bus. I wasn't feeling good. The stinking thinking started to come in. Why are you doing this? What are you doing out here? You jerk. All that stuff that starts, the negative thinking just started to, you know, bombard my mind. And all of a sudden, I just pivoted. I did the flip switch. I said, Scott, come on. Let's get the positive thinking going. And all of a sudden, Scott, you can do it. You're the best. You're a winner. Over and over and over again, I'm getting stronger and stronger. So I just bombarded my mind with all these positive affirmations, positive self-talk, if you will. And I had 10 miles to go. So 10 miles, I became my own best friend and just started to talk to myself instead of listening to myself. So long story short, I qualified for Boston, achieved the biggest dream of my life. And if it was not for the affirmations, I never would have accomplished that goal. Never, ever. And it was just an incredible experience, and it's one of the biggest accomplishments in my life. And it's not an easy feat to get in there, as you know, Rhonda.
Well, no, it's not. And just running a marathon, I mean, the thought of that alone, never mind if it's Boston or which one it is, but just running that long in a competitive way that you're attempting to cross the finish line sooner rather than later, you know.
Right,
that in
exactly.
It's amazing. And then doing it in one of the most well-known, even people who know virtually nothing about running, as I'm one of those, I don't follow a lot of the things, but who has not heard of Boston Marathon? In much of the United States and much of the world, you have, and that is just an amazing feat. And without affirmations, you might have been one of those guys at the side of the road sitting defeated, you know, because you didn't finish, but because you became your own best friend, you used those affirmations. You decided to not listen to the junk in your head on the stinking thinking, but to use affirmations to tell
mm-hmm.
yourself you were strong, capable, and successful. That really did allow you to make it. You certainly had the training. You had the other pieces in place. Without the mindset, you wouldn't have been where you ended up.
No, so affirmations are great. And if you're not doing affirmations today, make it a goal to do it, and we can give you some great affirmations and just the ones I read and everything else, and mark my words, they're very powerful.
Absolutely. So there are some stories. Another story of affirmations that I would love for you to share has to do with a water tank. Would you share that story with us?
Yeah, I went to a seminar 3 years ago in San Diego with John Osteroth, and it was just an incredible story. And John Osteroth was with The Secret, very successful, great guy, really believes in the affirmations and how powerful they are. They talk about it in The Secret and everything else. And talked about one of his friends that was starting a company, a small business, and, you know, the majority of small businesses fail. I think it's like 80% of new businesses fail. And so what he did every day, he got in the shower, he laminated his affirmations. Like I teach my clients, put your affirmations around the house. But he knew that every morning he had to take a shower, so he was committed to doing those affirmations for 10 minutes every morning. And he knew that he needed to have that new mindset to create this new company and make it successful, because he knew the odds were against him. So he started to do it. He's getting good at doing the affirmations. He was doing them every single day. But he said, you know what? 10 minutes is not enough. And this is a true story. So what he did was he went out and got a big water heater, another water heater. So he was guaranteed at least a 20-minute shower so he could double the amount of time that he was in the shower doing his affirmations. And so every day for like a year, he did 20 minutes religiously every day, programming his mind for success, putting all those great thoughts in there. And it was about a year and a half later that this company turned into a multi-million dollar company. And they interviewed him, and they said, well, you know, what's one of your secrets to make this a great success? I mean, this is a great story. And he said, if it wasn't for the affirmations, this company never would have even got off the ground. Those affirmations just programmed his mind to a whole new level. He took control of his thoughts. Failure was not an option, and he just had the best mindset in the world. So if anybody's out there is doubting the power of affirmations, just remember this story.
I mean, that is... trying to get myself unmuted. There we go. That was an awesome material by Scott Armstrong on our show from quite a while back. And hi, Gina. I'm so glad that you're here with us.
Hi, Rhonda. That was a great show. I remember Scott well. What a great example of someone who really lives their life with what I call abundant positivity.
Yes, absolutely. And that no failing and committing to the dream. It's not only about saying some words and repeating some words, you know, I'm a winner or whatever, just repeating them. But it's all about the emotion behind it and the commitment to make things happen.
Really is.
So that was a great story. So in the beginning of the show, I just began talking a little bit about, you know, we're here into the fourth quarter now, starting into October, just a couple days in. We had a show a couple weeks ago about kind of that check-in, where are you in relation to your goals and dreams and whatever. So I thought this would be a good opportunity to dive a little bit into the commitment and into that entrepreneurial mindset. And what got me thinking about entrepreneurial mindset is, see, when some people who decide that they're going to start a business, they were the kind of kid that always was trading baseball cards, selling things, and having lemonade stands and whatever as a kid, and, you know, always had that kind of a consciousness. And yet there are a lot of people who come into my world, and I know into your world too, because since I'm a graduate in your programs, I know who a lot of your students are. A lot of them are not coming in with this, you know, natural-born salesperson kind of a mentality. And so I thought it would be a really good opportunity to dig in a little bit into what can help people to develop the entrepreneurial mindset in a way that's very abundant and very serving, and you know, and how people can get over that sort of allergy to selling, as I sometimes call it, that people seem to feel.
That's a really good point. How can people get over that? I see that all the time. You and I both say this all the time, that if you can really come from a place of service while strategically monetizing things, you'll really get a lot further, a lot faster. A really good example of this is a site that I stumbled across recently. A good friend of mine brought it to my attention. It's a site that makes millions of dollars a year in the weight loss arena. And most of his traffic, probably 95% of his traffic, is from paid ads through Google. He uses Google pay-per-click ads to drive his traffic that drives his sales. Well, recently, something triggered a manual review by Google. And Google's quality team did the review, didn't like what they saw, and took down all of his paid advertising, which literally meant he lost 95% of his revenues overnight. Woke up one morning, no sales, didn't know why. Figured out, okay, got blacklisted by Google. Now what? So he went and he hired someone who supposedly used to work for Google as a quality rater, who is now a consultant, paid him $6,000 to learn why his site was blacklisted and what he could do to fix it. So the guy tells him all these great things. Oh, yeah, you did this wrong, you did this wrong, you did this wrong. And they're stupid things, like he's got testimonials up on a page and there's no disclaimer on it. Mentions people have lost 100 pounds in 90 days and there's no disclaimer around it. So, okay, he fixes all of that. He does every single thing the guy told him to do. Submits it to Google again. Google still says, thank you for playing, but no, you can't get your AdWords ads back. And so now he's coming to me going, okay, how can I get my traffic back? I'm willing to pay them whatever I need to pay them. I just want my sales to come back. And what he really needs to do is really not something that you can do with a few tweaks on a web page. He needs to, A, really come from that place of serving instead of selling. Everything about his site is set up to sell people something. It doesn't even serve people a little bit. You don't learn anything anywhere on his website other than other people lost weight. That's what you learn. You don't learn how they lost weight or how you can lose weight too. All you learn is they lost weight, and if you buy this product, maybe you could lose some too.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
And what he needs to do in order to get approved again so that he can spend money to get traffic is no different than what he would need to do to get high enough search engine rankings to drive traffic for free. They're one and the same. He needs to work on mindset, really get the mindset to be positive, really use things like affirmations and visualizations around not just making money for himself, but having something in it for the people he's making money from. And once the mindset is there, then really look at what you're doing on your website so that it really is consistent with what your intentions are. And if he does that, he can probably cut out 80 to 90% of his spending on AdWords ads and still make the same amount of money. Because at that point, he's going to draw people in organically. It's going to be very much his energy, as well as some of what he does with his website, that literally just draws people to him like, you know, nothing else you've ever seen.
Right. Yeah, and it's not something, you're right, it's not one of those things that you can overnight just go, oh, well, a tweak here, a tweak there, and boom, there, I've got it.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way, does it?
Not when you are so totally in a sales space. I mean, because then every page on that website would need to be redesigned or redone in a way that provides people some information. And see, that just bugs me. I hate commercials and things that are going to go, well, here, you can get this result just by this product. No, I'm sorry, that's not enough.
Right. That's really nice, but no, that isn't enough.
It isn't, and there could be 100 people saying the same thing. And especially, well, I mean, it's not only true in weight loss, but any kind of area where there are personal results to be had, you know, it's like you really want to tread carefully and be sure that people serve well regardless of whether they buy something. Because if they're the right audience, they will come back and buy something. And if they get a result for free, you know, or at least beginning some kind of understanding, it's going to help them want to come back to you to do business.
What I'm about to say is going to sound a little far-fetched and a little wacky, but I truly believe this. I really think that the reason our economy has been struggling the last few years at the level that it's really been at has been because for too long, people have really gone out selling stuff, not worrying about making a difference and serving people, but just selling money, selling stuff to make money because they can. And I think that's a big part of why the economy has gotten hurt in the end. If we can get back to a time like it was in, say, the 40s and 50s, when people really did things just because they cared, and they did them in a way that really made a difference for their customers, I think our economy would turn around overnight. And people wouldn't have to struggle to make money. Money would come to them effortlessly.
Gina, it's very interesting that you mentioned that, and I do happen to agree wholeheartedly, as I feel that our culture in the States and in many other places, but certainly in the States, has gotten very much into a selfish hoarding. I made mine. Go get yours. I'm going to hoard. And I was watching this video last night. It's a documentary. It's called I Am. I Am. It's by the guy who did the Ace Ventura movies and some other, a lot of comedy movies. And he got to a place of feeling he had a lot of stuff. He had three houses or whatever, you know, really big. And he got to a place of feeling, you know, society teaches me this is supposed to make me happy, and it doesn't. So he kind of went on his own quest. And part of what he talks about in this documentary called I Am, which is on Netflix, by the way, is that when a culture gets away from sort of the Aboriginal or Indigenous people's way of the whole community supports each other and helps each other because they can, then there becomes this incredible imbalance. And I agree with you. There are some friends of mine who just feel like, hey, I'm working my butt off to make mine. Let those people go earn theirs and get off their, you know, butts and that kind of stuff. And while I don't believe people should just sit and expect everything to be done for them without participating, I really feel there's that imbalance, and that is so much of what's happening in the economy, because there are people who are making theirs, want to hoard it and keep it away from the community. And when you think about it, if you are part of a community where people who might be old or sick or weak or whatever are not at all being taken care of, because you're too busy hoarding your stuff and getting more stuff and thinking that that's going to make you happy, that collapses a society.
Well, and it really says a lot about our society as a whole. When we even have reality TV shows based on hoarding, there's a reality TV show, I think it's on like one of the learning channel kinds of things, that's called Hoarders or Hoarding, that every week showcases another person who's hoarding stuff.
Yeah,
oh, my
goodness.
Why do we want to perpetuate that?
Yeah, because the more you see it, what you focus on expands. And even though I know that show is about helping them not hoard, or at least that's my understanding, I don't watch it. It's like if you put that stuff, it's like if you watch shows about war, it just perpetuates more war. It doesn't cause peace.
It's just like don't spill the milk.
Yeah, exactly.
It's no different than don't spill the milk, is it?
Right. Don't forget your keys, or don't forget to whatever, because your brain goes, forget to do that, spill the milk, have a war, hoard stuff, and the more stuff you get, the happier you are. It just perpetuates all of that.
Really does. Really, really does. And so even having a show about overcoming hoarding really perpetuates hoarding.
Right.
And the more we do that as a culture, the worse our economy will become. No questions asked, until we get to a place where it all collapses. And it will be very much the doing of society that causes that. It's not the government that does it. It's not Wall Street that does it. It's society and culture that causes it.
Yeah. It's the consciousness of people. You know, I often say, be what you want to see.
Oh, love it. Love
it. Be what you want to see. I put that in my Awakened Author Challenge. I sprinkle little quotes in there every so often. Just, you know, I don't really say much about them. I just throw them in there. And so that's one of them. Be what you want to see. If you want to see prosperity, then be in that frame of mind of prosperity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting thing about an entrepreneurial mindset is it does not mean that to be entrepreneurial, you have to buy into the culture things cultural ideas that more stuff is better and that you should hoard and grab as much as you can and hold stuff away from people who haven't, quote unquote, earned it or whatever. It doesn't mean that at all.
Actually, I think it means quite the opposite.
Yes.
An entrepreneurial mindset means thinking about more than just yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from that place of giving value and serving others and doing that because you can. It's a privilege to be able to do things that make a difference for others.
It's an honor as well.
Really is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really come from that place as an entrepreneur, you will build a business that is wildly successful beyond your biggest dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be very much on purpose that those kinds of results start to happen. It really does work that way. When you give, you really get more in return than what you put out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so often when people come into our world, we see them thinking about things. They're kind of on the brink of getting it, but not really. Very much evident in things like book launches where people give away chapter one so that they can get sales of the whole book. Well, that's not exactly what we mean here, is it, Rhonda?
No, because chapter one is most often the most useless chapter of all. And in fact, I caused a little bit of a stir, and I said, hey, put what you normally have as the front matter of the book in the back, because nobody cares about that stuff right away. You know, they don't care who you're dedicating the book to and whatever. Only the people who are being dedicated care. So why not put that stuff in the back and put what people care about as right up front and center?
I bet publishers would really hate you for that one.
I know. But, you know, Kindle readers will love it because, like, for just as an example, because this is an example, but it kind of shows what we're talking about. In a Kindle, as a Kindle author, people can automatically just, whether you set it up that way or not, it just is that way, they can get the first 10% of your book as a sample. Well, so imagine that if the first 10% of your book is all blah, 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 preface, foreword, dedications. You know, I know that you have to have a little bit of disclaimers and that kind of stuff, okay, but, you know, to go on and on. So if, and I was reading somebody's book, and it was like the last, my two pages was actually their book, and everything
up
to
that. Oh, my
goodness. And everything up until that point was front matter. You know, I mean, the table of contents was in there, which you of course, couldn't read beyond it until you bought the book. But I'm looking at that going, oh, my God, this person had this foreword that was so incredibly long from somebody that I never heard about and don't care about, and a preface, you know, and all this stuff. And if none of it made, I was like, no, I want to see if I want to buy this book or not. I don't really care about all this stuff. And it was actually an author that we love and respect.
Oh, my goodness. That's even more shocking.
Yeah, and I'll tell you who it is later, because I'm not trying to shame anybody, but all I'm saying is that if people are only going to get 10%, and if you have no control, just say, no, don't give them that front matter, all that garbage. You know, just give them from the table of contents and the first however long is 10% after that. You don't have any control of that, right? So that's just the kind of thing. So why not put some of that stuff so that people can get a sense of the value? And chances are good they might get more than the first chapter in a Kindle sample, unless your first chapter is really, really long.
Yes. Really good suggestion. Really good suggestion.
That's
really what we're talking about. Serve first. Give first. And strategically put things in place that can make you money from doing that.
Right. And
people don't need to be afraid of putting great quality stuff up on their blog where it's freely available if they really are getting the message that we have for people. If they really understand what it means to be an entrepreneur, to have an entrepreneurial mindset, then go put your great stuff up there for free even more frequently. If you did your job in strategically monetizing, it will make you a lot more money than anything else you can do.
Right. Yeah. And not to be afraid. I mean, for example, one person said, well, you know, you talk about putting stuff about your bonus for the book right in the beginning, you know, or either right before or right after the table of contents. Usually I'll have like, hey, remember to take your bonuses. And some information about it, and then a link. And they go, well, wouldn't you want to put that, like, after the 11th percent? And I said, no. And they're like, well, why not? Because if they got a sample that's free, they didn't buy your book. And I said, because even if they didn't buy the book and they went ahead and took my bonuses, I'm sure even if a part of them doesn't feel a little guilty for having done that, which, you know, I don't really care, so it's all in their head. And I said, the thing is that if they do that, then they have opted in and allowed me the opportunity to continue to communicate with them. And they probably will buy either that book or something else because they will have received such really awesome material.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the entrepreneurial type of mindset. It's not how much can I grab and how can I make sure people buy stuff, whether they know it's useful for them or not. Right? But it's really about the serving.
Exactly. Exactly. And boy, when you really get that, you really do change everything you do in your business, from the products you sell to how you sell them. It really does change once you get how important it is to serve. And
yeah, absolutely.
Even go to lengths of making that very obvious. In an article that you're putting out there, ask questions that could get people coming back to you to give them more advice. In your content in your book, do things that really make people want to come into your world in a bigger way. Again, ask questions. Tell them how they can reach you to get some helpful advice, etc. All of those things will really help tremendously in building relationships that will make you way more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So what is an example that you have that can help people develop the right kind of entrepreneurial mindset? Do you have a particular person or situation in mind you can share?
Boy, the right kind of mindset.
Or the wrong kind, that's fine too.
Good question. The right kind of mindset. I think the one thing that I see quite often is people who have been successful in business just selling people things. I know a person who has made a lot of money, has a business that's probably at least 9 figures a year or more. And at one point, he mentioned to me that, you know, SEO doesn't really work. Getting organic traffic from search or social media doesn't really work. He's done that before, and it's never actually converted into a sale, not ever. And so the way he does things is very much sell, 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 because that's what he knows, and he knows that that makes him money. And he's been extremely successful at it, not just a little bit, but a huge amount of success. And for people who have been successful selling things, and now that the economy is where it's at, are finding that going out, doing what they've done before, isn't working at the same level that it used to. When they hear about entrepreneurial mindset and really making the shift to relationship marketing, that they immediately think, oh, I don't have a problem with mindset. I don't have to do something different. I've been really successful doing it the other way. Well, can you imagine for people like that, Bonda, if they could really get into the mindset of serving, of giving first, of really having positivity in their life and do things in a way that serves because they can, same way they sell because they can, serve because they can, while strategically monetizing, instead of an 8 or 9 figure business, it could easily become a 10 to 12 figure business overnight.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
To me, those are the people that have the greatest challenge with mindset. It's the people who have been wildly successful doing it in a way that does not serve, that are the ones that are the hardest to get them to shift their mindset into something more positive.
Oh, yeah, because they've been successful by selling stuff and cramming stuff down people's throat for a long enough time to have built a pretty good empire on it, and so they think, oh, it rinse and repeat, right? You know,
yeah.
And then if something changes in Google, so they can't rinse and repeat, like your fellow that got blacklisted that you mentioned in the weight loss niche a little while back. If they then get blacklisted or some other kind of hand slap comes along and says, oh, but no, you can't do it that way, then they are just completely lost in the woods.
They really are.
It's like having them thrown into the deep ocean and said, breathe. We're not giving you equipment. We're expecting you to grow gills. Just breathe.
And here's one way to know it if you're in that position. If you look at your goals, if your goals are all me, 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 me kind of goals, even if they're just goals that are about you and your family, more than likely you're someone who needs an entrepreneurial mind shift. It's those people that really think about themselves in crafting their goals that really need to hear this message even more. Your goals should encompass what you want for yourself, what you want for your family, what you want for your friends, what you want for your customers, for your prospects, and even the world. If you don't have goals around all of those areas, what you want for everybody else and the world, then more than likely you need to work on your entrepreneurial mindset. That's one really big clue that I've noticed with people. One of the first things I usually ask when I'm working with people is, what are your goals? What do you want for yourself, your prospects, your customers, the world? And the more detailed they can give me those goals, the more helpful I can be in helping craft a strategy that causes that to happen.
Right.
And really, mindset has to start there. Figuring out what to do with visualization, figuring out what to do with your products and how you make your money. It has to start with what are your goals. I suggest 1 to 3 year goals and maybe 3 to 5 year goals, but you can really start anything that's kind of out there, something at least a year from now. And make a detailed list of every single thing you want. Think about how you would have your perfect day. What would that look like? If you had your perfect choices, what would your week look like? What would your month look like? What would your year look like? What would you do? Who would you interact with? What would you literally be spending your money on? The more detailed you can be in answering all of those questions, write it out as a story, the easier it will be to put a plan together that will ensure that that picture will become your reality. And if you're not detailed enough in it, be careful, because the little details really do matter. You're going to cause some results to occur. You might as well make it the one you want rather than the one you attract because you didn't think about it.
Yeah, a really simple example is if you say, I want more money, and I walk up and I say, oh, here, I found a dime on the ground. You can have it. Congratulations.
There you go. You've got more money.
Yeah, probably not what you really wanted, but all you said was more money. There are so many stories throughout all kinds of literature and movies about how somebody makes a bargain with the devil, and it's by not being specific that they get all these weird things. Bedazzled is a great example of a movie that's like that. I mean, there are tons of them. But just as an example, it's by him not being specific, the hero of the story goes through all of these wacko adventures that it's like, oh, no, that's not really what I meant. So you don't want your life to be like that.
Exactly. And I mean, even if I look at my own miraculous transformation, I got the exact picture of my visualizations, and I really didn't pay attention to the details. In that visualization, my whole reason for doing it was to be healthy, to be well, so that I wasn't dying, I wasn't in a wheelchair. I didn't realize that the picture I saw in my head was a much smaller Gina than I was at that moment in time. I lost 68 pounds without going on a diet, without changing my eating habits, without doing anything different. I didn't try to make that happen. It was just because I didn't pay enough attention to the details. It just happened.
Right.
And while that can sometimes be good, like in my case, that was a very nice outcome. I enjoyed that immensely.
Right.
It works the same way in the opposite direction, too. If I hadn't been paying attention to those details and maybe saw myself bigger than I was, I could have gained weight just as easily as I lost it.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And the thing is, some of those details that you imagined, that for you part of being healthy was having nice clothes and jewelry and different things, and so that also sets you on a path of prosperity, not just a healthy woman living in a run-down, broken-down trailer with no windows or something, for example.
Exactly.
You could have imagined yourself being healthy as can be, living in a dump, and you could have had that result too.
Yeah. And again, the prosperity part of it wasn't even something that I consciously was going after. I just didn't want to die.
Right. Right. And you were just fortunate that you crafted your visions in such a way that you were wearing nice jewelry and living a good life as well as being healthy, that you had good surroundings and people that were good around you and those kinds of things.
Thank goodness, right? Thank goodness.
Thank goodness you paid enough attention to what was around you to not land yourself in a broken down trailer with no windows.
Yes. Oh, I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, that could have been a near miss.
Really could have been, very easily.
Right. Well, and that's the cool thing is when somebody comes into your world or my world, they will definitely get assistance with the mindset along with other things. And it is an evolution. For example, I was talking to on my gold call in a hug feed I had one of my people, and I asked her a little bit about how she would really love spending her days and so forth. And then after she finished, I said to her, you know, somehow I have the impression that you're just seeing yourself as all of that without necessarily having very much abundance, very much money or good situations. And part of that comes from being able to be happy anywhere in whatever circumstance, but part of it comes from just that lack of visioning that it could be better. And I know because I have been guilty of that myself, so I can recognize it really fast. It's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I told her, too. I said, I see this one because I know it well. It used to be an address.
And, you know, let's look at you, for example, because you and I have been working together for a lot of years. We've known each other for a lot of years, at least 6 or 7 years now, isn't it, Rhonda?
Yeah, about 6, I think, yeah.
I think so, too. And while you were getting results years ago, where you're at now is so different than where you were before. And it really has been a journey. You're someone that I think has always had a very positive entrepreneurial mindset, and you certainly knew what it meant to serve. Since the day I met you, your first questions have always been, how can I serve you today? That's just who you are. And yet your entrepreneurial mindset today has grown so much from what it was when we first met 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that has helped that happen, and how can our listeners do the same things for themselves?
I need to put some study into going inside of me to figure out what that is so that I can teach it exactly. But just to kind of get started, what I can say is, because I am a person, yes, I am naturally desiring to be of service. That's just, that's like my DNA. That's how I'm built, right? And I'm also a person who can be happy in whatever circumstance, which is a positive in many ways, but it can also lead to, well, you know, whatever, wherever I am, whatever is happening around me, you know, I don't lose that ability to be in a positive state. It can also, though, lead to feeling that, you know, in like in some subconscious way that you just have to settle for that and that that's all you get. And so the difference for me has been really opening up to recognize that there is the same kind of abundance that is in nature is in me. And while nature never takes more than it needs, and so that's where some of this can get really kind of sticky and weird, nature doesn't ever take more than it needs, but it gives abundantly and it receives abundantly regardless. And so there is no sense of needing to hoard, which I've never had that anyway. I don't really care much about stuff or money. I'm not really a hoarding type of person. You know, I'm happy to share stuff. So that's just been that evolution for me, is recognizing that abundance really is my birthright, and the more abundant I am, the more I have to share and the better I can serve, because I'm more tuned in to source and into natural law that way than I am if I'm very happy, you know, living at a bare minimum type of existence.
Uh-huh. And so let's talk for a minute about where you're at now and how far you've come, like, outwardly. You have gotten so many things put together as you've been on this journey. You've had a number of best-selling books out there for a long time, but what has come about in the more recent past?
Part of it I started to develop the systems that are exactly what I teach. And then most recently, it's been able to put some of the actually pieces of technology and systems and behind-the-scenes systems in place, so that I can more easily do what I do. And in other words, things like I was dealing with some systems where people were way too often butting up against an error message or whatever. And I am not a person who enjoys support tickets and dealing with that. I want people to have a great experience and not have to deal with those kinds of things. And so having things in place that make all of that possible in a very effortless flow, it's like, how can I be in an effortless place if the systems around me don't support effortlessness? So now I have systems that support that. And many of my product names either have instant or effortless in the title, and there's a reason for that. That's really how it should be and how it can be.
Mm-hmm. Very,
so
very
a lot
true.
Of it, not all of it, but a lot of it has just been some of that, the behind-the-scenes systems to support the really easy, good systems that I've created as far as books and bestsellers. And goodness, Lasse became a bestseller while he was at a party. He didn't even know it. I mean, you know.
Seriously? Oh, my goodness.
I've got it recorded on a call. I've got to pull that out and make a video. His book came out like, he thought it was not coming available till Monday, and it became out like on a Thursday night. And so Friday, for us, it would have been Friday afternoon. He's in Alicante, Spain. So he's there in Spain, and he goes to show his they said my book came out already. Someone showed me, and he goes up, and he's an international bestseller in Spain and in Italy.
Oh, that's so too funny.
It's great. But see, that's the point, is it's all getting the systems and everything in place means you can be you and just do your thing. We only have about a minute left, so what are your final thoughts for people today?
Well, there's never any time like the present to get started with having the right mindset. Don't wait. If you're hearing this message and you're looking at your goals and you're going, they are a little one-sided here in that they're all me, 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 start working today on figuring out what you want for the rest of the world, the other people in your world, the other people in your life, and start moving toward creating an entrepreneurial mindset that is positive, that is based on serving while strategically monetizing, and set a goal for yourself of by when you're really going to get things transitioned from a selling model to a serving model, so that you can start 2013 in a much better place mindset-wise.
That's so great. Thank you, Gina. I'm glad that you made it, and thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will be back next week.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.